Good morning. 37 past the hour. It's Faith Radio. More and more American young people are willing to take a stand for life and to get involved in the pro-life movement, standing up to pro-abortion classmates and teachers. Joining us is one of those young people, Reagan Barklage. She's Midwest Regional Coordinator for Students for Life of America. Good morning, Reagan.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. It's good to have you with us today. Let's start off with your personal story. What first inspired your passion to get involved in the pro-life movement?
You know, when I was a child, I was exposed to my dad's lessons plans. He was a political science professor at the Air Force Academy, and must have been covering partial birth abortion when the ban was going through. And the way the ban was passed in Congress was they showed the diagram of a partial birth abortion, and my dad had that, and I just stumbled upon it, and that was very traumatizing for me. When I went to college, you know, I was still pro-life and knowing what abortion was, but there wasn't really a group on my campus. I went to the University of Missouri, and I just felt like something needed to be done because I never saw a pregnant woman on campus. And I realized it was because either they were dropping out or they were going to the Planned Parenthood less than 3 miles from my campus. So I decided to start Mizzou Students for Life.
It's interesting. You look around the huge student body, University of Missouri, and you say, gosh, there's no pregnant women here. And yet, you know, you know that there are many that are getting pregnant. And you're really saddened by the fact that they're just going down the road to have an abortion.
Yeah, and it was just really devastating to me because our school didn't promote alternatives. We promoted Planned Parenthood, we promoted, you know, sexual health, but they didn't promote any alternatives to abortion. No one knew that there was a pregnancy health center right across the street from Planned Parenthood. No one knew about the federally qualified health centers that would offer low-cost services to women, or the student health center would offer low-cost services to students. So that's where I felt like it was my job to step up and do that myself.
Okay, so you're in an environment at a state university where, let's just say, they're not really friendly to the pro-life position. What was it like for you interacting with classmates and professors who were strongly pro-abortion?
Oh, it was, like, horrible. I was a journalism major, and being a pro-life journalism student is probably the most... it's very rare to find. So my professors weren't very friendly towards me. I did have some support, but the school as a whole was not. In fact, when we first did a display on campus, we did a pro-life display for our first event as Mizzou Students for Life. And when I was out there, a sociology professor came up to me, and she was pointing at me and screaming at me. And she said, "You're a disgrace to the woman race." And I didn't really know a woman race was a thing. That was news to me. So, I just had to tell her, you know, this is why I'm out here. I'm out here for women. But she didn't really give me time to talk. So it was a very – college was rough because I was kind of standing up alone, and it was hard to find people willing to stand with me. But there were champions out there. But Mizzou Students for Life is still going strong. In fact, last night was their first meeting of the semester, and they had 32 students show up. So that was really exciting.
Oh, that's great. Tell us a little bit about Students for Life. Obviously, it's a national organization now, and I know it's not just on college campuses. It's now in high schools as well.
Yes. In fact, we're actually starting a middle school program, too, this fall, which is really exciting. We have over 1,000 groups nationwide. We're on homeschools, high school, middle school now, college, med, and law schools. So we are just fighting the fight in all different sorts of schools. And, you know, we're getting stronger than ever. We're going to abolish abortion in our lifetime.
That's a great goal. What sort of resources do you provide to students in those various settings? Obviously, they've got different issues to tackle depending on their age and the you know, school setting they're in. So how do you support them?
So we provide them with all the resources they need to promote the truth to abortion on campus, you know, and help give the student body momentum to, fight for life. In colleges, we work especially with our groups to help them work with the school's administration to help if there are pregnant and parenting students on their campus, by making sure that there's diaper decks in all the bathrooms and lactation rooms and daycares. Our students work to make sure that students, if they're during finals, babysitting for their children. So we just help them, give them event ideas, guidance, training. We're just there to help them every step of the way so they know that they're not doing this alone.
Have you had any situations where Students for Life, where an administration or a student group has tried to shut you down to, limit your First Amendment rights, where you've had to have a Christian legal organization come in to assist you?
Oh, yes, that happens, pretty often, especially in our public high schools. It's really sad when you see schools giving the LGBTQ groups all the rights to flyer and have a group on campus. But when it comes to, pro-life group, they say that that's too controversial and they're not allowed. But they are allowed. And our amendments, our First Amendment right says that we can. So thank God for St. Thomas More Society and the Alliance Defending Freedom. Those are the attorneys that we work with to stand up for our students.
And I'm guessing a well-placed letter in the hand of an administrator or a school board all of a sudden helps them to wake up and realize, uh-oh, this could mean a big lawsuit.
Yes, and really bad media for the school.
Yeah.
Something that they try to avoid.
You're not kidding. Now, Glamour magazine recently printed an article you wrote titled, "Yes, I'm Pro-Life, But I'm Not a Stereotype." What are some of the most common stereotypes that you hear about pro-lifers?
So, to give you a little backstory on that article that I wrote. So I was in this documentary for HBO called Abortion Stories Women Tell, and they followed me around with a couple other pro-life women, and I was told they were going to follow around a couple other pro-abortion activists as well. They ended up kind of changing how they did this film and following women who had abortions in Granite City, Illinois. I live in St. Louis, so they were trying to show how Missouri, it's hard to get an abortion because of all of the restrictions. So Granite City is right across the border, and so a lot of women go there. So they followed the abortionists out of that facility. And instead of spending a lot of time focusing on us, the pro-lifers, they showed the protesters outside of this facility, which was really disappointing because these protesters were your stereotypical pro-lifers, angry, harassing women, calling them horrible names as they walked in to get their abortion. And it just painted us to all look that way when that's not how I approach things, and that's not how the other two women, pro-life women, approach things either. So, the stereotype that it's just all old white men or angry people outside of an abortion facility, condemning women to hell for having an abortion or whatever, that's not who Students for Life is. And I just felt called to write a post. So I wrote this post and Glamour saw it, and they really liked it. They were doing the segment on abortion. And so the editor reached out to me and asked if I would write something for them, which I was just shocked. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to spin it. They're not going to put it in my words. And they did. They were so great to work with. And I'm just so blessed to have had that opportunity, to show that the pro-life movement, that's not who we are. And there are definitely pro-life people out there that fit that stereotype, but not our generation.
Well, and unfortunately, with every stereotype, there is some basis in fact. And we've talked about this before with our Kim Cattola from Cradle My Heart. The approach that the angry, yelling protesters are taking is not effective. And unfortunately, the other side, the pro-abortion side and the media, capitalizes on that. You saw that in the documentary that you were featured in. It's counterproductive. It's not biblical. It's not the way Jesus would have done it. And I think we need to be willing, those of us who are strongly pro-life, to speak to our brothers and sisters and say, This is not helping. This is not going to do what you think you're going to do. You're going to do just the opposite.
Exactly. I mean, if you think about it, a woman who's in the most vulnerable position, she's scared out of her mind. You know, she feels like her life is going to be over if she has this child. And she's walking into an abortion facility. The last thing that she wants to hear is someone telling her she's going to hell and she's a murderer. She's not going to be running to you for help. She's going to be running into the abortion facility as a safe haven. So we're actually making the situation way worse if we're doing it that way. You know, she's not going to come up to us every single time if we're compassionate people. You know, and that doesn't mean that we're taking it the wrong approach. It just, you know, we're not going to win them all, unfortunately. But we have a way better shot that way.
Regan Barklage is our guest. She's Midwest Regional Coordinator of Students for Life of America. We'll be right back here on Faith Radio. Good morning. 50 minutes past the hour. You are listening to the Faith Radio Network, and it's great to have you along with us today. I'm Bill Meyer. My guest is Regan Barklage. She's with Students for Life America, and she's actually the Midwest Regional Coordinator in Missouri. She was a student at University of Missouri, and she experienced a lot of, let's just say, persecution there for her pro-life views, but she stuck in there. And what's fascinating is that Glamour magazine, a national women's magazine, recently printed an article that Regan wrote titled, "Yes, I'm Pro-Life, But I'm Not a Stereotype." Do you think that, Regan, do you think that the fact that Glamour was willing to publish your piece is a sign that at least some in our culture are becoming more open on this subject?
Oh, absolutely. And I really think that it shows us that this approach is getting attention. And when we talk about this approach, this is what people want to hear. You know, even though we think it's common sense, like this is how the pro-life movement is, people who aren't exposed to the pro-life movement every day, they don't know that. So we have to constantly remind people, no, we're approaching this in love. No, we want to help women facing an unplanned pregnancy. And my new job and my new role, I think, after this is I'm just going to keep talking about it until I'm blue in the face, because I'm going to hit people that haven't heard that yet, and that's going to be refreshing for them to hear.
Now, what are some examples that show that being pro-life is actually also being pro-woman?
You know, I think with our Pregnant on Campus initiative through Students for Life, working with the school's administration to make sure, you know, school is accessible to pregnant parenting students, that's showing us that we know the world that we're focusing on the woman. You know, you have to save the woman first and work with the woman before you can save the baby. And there's been a lot of studies out there that show that. So I think with us as a pro-life movement, working with women and their needs and finding out where they're at and when they're in their unplanned pregnancy, and meeting those needs is what's going to help save the life of the unborn child. And so I think that that is something that the pro-life movement is, you know, just running with, because we've seen it work.
As you interact with female college students at University of Missouri, what do you hear about adoption? Do you hear that that is an option that is a positive thing? Or is it more like, I could never give up my baby, so I've got to have an abortion because, you know, the emotions would be just too difficult? And what are some of the narratives that are being shared there?
Sure. You know, I think it's different for a lot of people. Some people who have an unplanned pregnancy, their first thought is, well, I'm just going to place the baby for adoption. And that's really great. Adoption is a wonderful thing. But unfortunately, adoption, too, also has a negative stereotype where, you know, I hate to put it this way, but in a woman's mind, she thinks that she's failing her child. And so much where abortion is a better option for her because her child isn't seeing her fail at life by not being able to parent. As sick as that sounds, that's kind of how it's, her brain is working. So how I try to approach it is I don't like to bring up adoption right away, you know, as like the alternative, because if a woman's facing an unplanned pregnancy, she doesn't even want to go through the pregnancy. Like, she doesn't even want to think about that. Her life is over as soon as she starts showing and people know that she's pregnant. So, you know, just getting her through the fact that you're going to make it, you're going to be okay, we're going to be here to support you, and then bringing up adoption as an option. We actually just had last week a baby save. My group at Eureka College, one of the students' boyfriends was wearing I Am the Pro-Life Generation sticker on his hard hat at work. And there's a dad that works there, and he told the student that his daughter is facing unplanned pregnancy. She's planning on having an abortion, and she is probably going to go through with it. Well, a couple days later, he went up to that student and said, after seeing your sticker, I went home to my daughter. And the student had also told him about Ryan Bomberger, who had come to Eureka to speak about adoption. And Ryan Bomberger just has a wonderful story of being placed for adoption. I think his mom was also raped, and he is part Black, so one of the main targets of abortion. So the student was telling this dad about Ryan Bomberger and his life story. So when the dad got home, he told his daughter about it, and she was YouTubing videos of Ryan Bomberger and ended up deciding to carry on with her pregnancy and place her baby for adoption. So I think that it just kind of depends on the situation, but I don't think that it should be, you know, the first response. Especially, like, if a woman has been raped, and so many times, like, when we're debating abortion and someone says, well, what about rape? Shouldn't a woman be able to have an abortion because of rape? And our first reaction is, oh, well, she can just give the baby up for adoption then. And that's definitely a valid option, but it's not the most loving response because we're not thinking about the woman right there and what she's going through.
Mm-hmm. That's so well said. Well, obviously, Reagan, we have a spiritual battle going on our university campuses around the country. We are so thankful that Students for Life of America is involved and that you are there making a difference. And I'm just going to encourage all of our Faith Radio listeners to pray for you, Reagan, and for your colleagues in this this wonderful ministry that is just making a difference. And as you said, saving babies every day.
Yes, thank you so much. And thanks for all you do.
Thanks, Reagan. Reagan Barkledge, Midwest Coordinator for the Students for Life of America organization. 56 past the hour. This is Faith Radio.